This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Should Lime and I be more worked up about the Cavs loss in game one against the Indiana Pacers? Lime was like, nah, we're, you know, physical game one, the answer to that. I don't know what we're going to do without Darius Garland, but I think a lot of this is, hey, shoot your threes better. You're going to have to get back in their face, and you should be able to take game two, and then we can do it from everything else. I don't want to get caught in this. Well, as long as we win on Tuesday, everything's hunky-dory, and we set sail for the rest of the series. I mean, it'd be great, but I think we kind of, because of the Heat series and because it's been such a long, wonderful regular season where they didn't lose many games at all, did we kind of forget how to hunker down and get ready for a back and forth?
Did we forget how the playoffs work, that you play against teams that are capable of beating you?
You know, and maybe this is, you knew that Miami, all right, there was some people bringing up Heat culture, but clearly that's gone. Okay. Then you go back to Indiana. You're taking on Indiana. All right. You give them some credit for, like, I don't think a lot of people thought that the postseason in the Eastern Conference was going to get very serious until Boston. I think they were ready to get serious against Boston. I think some people did not think we were going to have to be very serious against Indiana. Whether or not you and I didn't do a good job preparing them for that, I just didn't want to sit here on Friday and go, ooh, let's be afraid of the Pacers. I think that's a silly way to go about the business. You can respect the Pacers. You can respect them, yes.
Is it as simple as a bad shooting night? Like, if this was game three, if the Cavs were up 2-0 in game three and all this happened in game
It'd be a hell of
three.
A lot simpler if Darius Garland was on the floor.
Everybody would just go, oh, they just shot bad.
It'd be a lot simpler if he were on the floor. Since he's not on the floor, I have to, okay, what are you going to be? What are we? Because if he's not able to go tomorrow night, where he says he's able to go and he's going to go, all right, I thought you were going to go yesterday. So now I have to question whether or not you're going to be out there. If you're not going to be out there, yeah, if we're getting ready for this game tomorrow night, and there's a report he ain't going to be out there, I'm gonna be a little bit worked up. Not mad at him. I mean, it is what it is, but I'm gonna be pretty nervous for that.
Well, it just, obviously, part of it that stinks is we don't know. We don't know the severity of an injury at this time. Like, even in the regular season, they will kind of obscure stuff. And that's, more teams are doing it now than ever when it comes to injuries. They're basically only telling you what they have to tell you by the letter of the law, because of the gambling consequences and all that. But we're in the playoffs now. Rick Carlisle pregame was like, Darius is going to play. So the Pacers were like, yeah, there's no way he's not going to play. I mean, he sat the two games out. He had the rest. But nobody knows the injury. Like, nobody really, really knows what this injury is. You're just getting a lot of speculation. And we played the Jared Greenberg earlier from TNT, and he talked to Darius, and Darius is like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay, well, that's all we're going on.
Darius Garland dealing with a frustrating injury, a sprain of his left big toe, which is keeping him out for a third straight game. An injury that requires rest to heal. The good news, I've been told, is there's no structural damage. However, Garland continues to battle significant swelling and pain. He will remain day-to-day and could play in Game 2 on Tuesday. In fact, he just came out into the court. I talked to him briefly, and he feels confident he will be able to play Tuesday. However, if this was the regular season, Garland would likely be shut down for another week to 2 weeks to stay off of the toe. This injury described to me as a major burden for a shifty point guard who needs to push off with confidence.
Audio courtesy of TNT. The structural damage thing is not that great of news to me because it's, if it were February, I think that'd be good news. We're at the end of the year. So yeah, if he got hurt more, I guess it is somewhat good news, but that doesn't matter as much as him being able to play.
Well, how does this injury compare?
Now you're playing for it all.
To everybody, when we talk about guys in the playoffs, everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged
up. He can't go. I'm sure he wants to go. I'm sure he's frustrated. I'm sure he knows the criticism.
The minute that the Lakers were eliminated, and people have noticed, it's every year with this.
What is it?
But the minute it ended, it was, LeBron's got his MCL. He's going to get attention to that. Every guy this time of year, the minute the season ends, we hear about that. So is this a standard, normal, end-of-the-year NBA, guys are banged up, or is this significant? It's going to mess with the way he plays.
It's got to be significant. It has to be. If it's just standard and banged up, then I guess, you know, forget the Ty Jerome thing. I guess we can't be long for him anyway, because if he's just going to get banged up and that's going to be it, which he's actually been pretty healthy throughout the most of his career, and he's been able to play through some things. But if he's not able to go, well, then damn, Tone, I just don't think it's going to be. If it were run-of-the-mill, I think he'd have been out there last night. It's not run-of-the-mill. It has to be hampering him and really being a problem for him.
Was he hurt with this injury before Game 2 of the Heat series?
They said it was a re-aggravation, so yes. Okay.
Well, yeah, and Windhorse seemed to be troubled by it a week ago, and I kind of chalked it up to, yeah, I mean, they're playing coy about a lot of this.
He had a week to kill. What were you going to do with
it? I know. And, you know, he wasn't doing any contact stuff, but the thought was, you know, he'll get out there and he's banged up, but eventually he'll be fine and guys are banged up at this time of year. And now I was also thinking, were they playing it a little cute? Like, don't play him in game one because we should still be able to win. No. We've dominated without him.
Maybe, but I got to tell you, I think he knows what's said about him. I think he definitely wanted to be out there. I don't think he would have done what he had done where, I know non-contact, but it was a participant in practice the day before or 2 days before. I don't think I think he desperately wants to be out there, and I wonder if he cost himself game one because he was trying to push it for game one. Dennis in Cleveland, you're first up in the Fan. Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say, man, I hate to say it. Every year, something different, man. Now we're dealing with a toe. And then the best we can do at the point guard is Merle. We're in trouble.
Well, you have real trouble. You have Ty Jerome usually running your point when he's not there.
We didn't do it last night. Well, he didn't start last night.
Listen, every year. Well, Sam started the other nights anyway against Miami. I know Ty Jerome was the focus for everybody, but Sam started. Am I wrong, Tony?
Yeah, but he's not able to break down anybody. He's not going to be effective against Indiana and those athletic guards they got. And he's undersized, too. So, I mean, we're in trouble, man.
Well, 6'2", I mean, there's every year he's not that big. That's why I think he was trying to push it to get out there yesterday. And I do have a concern for game two. If they come out and they say he's not going to be able to play game two, like, yeah, I mean, you don't want to get down in a 2-0 hole against this team. Especially with what Ty Jerome wasn't able to do against
and
a team
then
with length.
Going on the road.
Yes. So you don't want to be in that moment there. So I think if he's able to go, yeah, we're going to keep a close eye on him because he could just be out there jogging around and he might not be great.
And in this series, no, this is not the series you can jog around. You saw how much running, high octane, back and forth, as quick of a pace as you will see in the playoffs, especially second round. Normally things are slowing down to a crawl. This has been completely the opposite. I mean, look at the score. The Cavs couldn't hit a three. They scored 112 points.
I'll tell you what. Dennis thinks we should be a little bit more concerned than what we are. 216-474-0092. Should we be more concerned about this series after the Cavs dropped game one to the Indiana Pacers?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.